Yes, of course. Thank you. So we're now moving on to Agenda Paper 5, which is the final section of the request for information on the agenda consultation. And in this section, we're asking for feedback on the priority of financial reporting issues, or sort of where we talk about them normally, is projects that the board should add to its agenda. As we've already noted, the board has limited capacity to add new projects to its agenda. And the reason it has limited capacity to add new projects is firstly, as Nili mentioned this morning, the board's initial leaning is that it will continue work on the projects that are on its current agenda and finalise those important projects. Secondly, and I think this deals with a question that I think Osman had earlier in the earlier session, the board is already committed to doing a number of post-implementation reviews on recently issued standards. Those post-implementation reviews are a requirement of the due process. Therefore, the board's going to have to do them so that we have some resources put aside to ensure that those post-implementation reviews are done. And then secondly, we've put aside some time for time-sensitive projects. Our past experience has shown that in between agenda consultations, urgent or time-sensitive issues arise that the board has to address, and it's important that we do have capacity to be able to deal with those projects as and when they arise. So a recent example of that would be the IBOR reforms and the work that came out of that. Once we've taken account of all those pre-existing commitments that the board has, we think that we have capacity to take on round about 2 to 3 large projects, 4 to 5 medium projects, or 7 to 8 small projects. I just emphasise the all there, so it's 2 to 3 large projects or 4 to 5 medium projects. It's not an and there, unfortunately. On slide 5 of the agenda paper, we have a description of a number of potential projects. So the request for information describes potential projects that the board could take onto its agenda. The list was developed during outreach prior to the request for information being issued. And the purpose of that list is to provide a common understanding of those potential projects, so that when I say I want a project on cash flow statements, I'm getting the same sort of feedback as I'm getting feedback on the sort of project that people want. So if I say a cash flow statement, do I mean a fundamental revision of IS7, or do I actually mean some targeted improvements to IS7? So the descriptions that we've included in the RFI are intended to give people the common understanding of the sorts of work that we could carry out on each of these financial reporting issues. What I'd like to emphasise is that list of projects, of described projects in the RFI, is not a draft work plan. Firstly, there are far more projects on being described in the request for information than the board could ever actually take on. And secondly, we're really keen to hear from stakeholders suggestions about other projects not included in the descriptions in the RFI that they think the board should be prioritising over the next few years. With that sort of background to the information, I'd like to hand over for any comments or questions that you might have on this section of the agenda consultation.
Thank you very much, Rachel. Sorry, I just noticed in the chat room, Torsten, I hope I didn't move too quickly to the next agenda item, but would you like to comment on the cost-benefit criterion? I'm sorry to jump back to the last topic, but I think I skipped over you inadvertently.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you. No problem. Just wanted to mention the upcoming conference by the Institute of Chartered Accountants of England and Wales, the Information for Better Markets conference in December. This year, the topic is accounting standards, the too difficult box, and basically talks about or is trying to shed light on accounting standards in areas that haven't been regulated so far, where there's a gap, so to speak, and the question whether each accounting issue needs a solution. So this cost-benefit analysis isn't only, I think, about do the costs to the preparers outweigh the benefits to the investors or vice versa, but also more broadly, there might be costs and benefits to leaving an issue unresolved. Maybe there's a market solution that might actually be better than a standard solution. Or it could be the case that just in the process of grappling with an accounting issue that is not standardized, companies could come to a deeper understanding of the issue and in the process produce information that is actually superior to what a standard could generate. So just the idea of taking a bit of a broader look at the issue, that's something that the conference will shed light on. Thanks.
Thank you, Torsten. I apologize for skipping over you, but I'm glad I went back to you because the cost benefit analysis is something else that others had raised. So thank you for that. Okay, back to priorities. Rachel, thanks for your introduction. The floor is open. Let us hear from Trevor, and then we'll hear from B. Lang. But Trevor, please.
Thanks, Bill. In terms of priorities and projects and how to approach them, one of the thoughts that I've been wondering about is when we talk about cryptocurrencies, do we need a standard on cryptocurrencies, or do we need a standard or a scope project that starts describing the characteristics of various assets and where they start fitting in? So whether cryptocurrencies are cash or intangible assets or financial assets, isn't it better to approach the particular question at the time as to what the criteria are that would enable it to fit into one of those? And it goes beyond cryptocurrencies. It goes beyond to the simple question of what is cash, and things like what sort of commodity transactions would fit into what asset. So rather than looking at the actual asset type itself and trying to solve the accounting for a particular asset type, possibly looking at defining the scopes of assets such that the criteria that can be used to identify what asset fits into where would be clearly identified. So that's question comment one. And then comment two is, it seems, and there's been numerous sort of articles written about the value of companies being driven by the unrecognized intangible assets. And I think that's something that we probably start needing, or we need now a project on disclosure of unrecognized intangible assets. Trying to solve the intangible asset problem and when to recognize them, I think, is going to take a significant period of time. And so maybe as a stopgap at this stage, although I don't think it's a small project, would be what criteria should companies be required to put in their financial statements about the intangible assets they have that aren't recognized. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Your comment on crypto assets or cryptocurrencies, digital currencies, stable coins, central bank digital currency. I mean, this is I know the central banking community has very strong views on what constitutes currency versus an asset. So this is something that, and of course, this is another area among several that are so quickly evolving. Thank you, Trevor. Good comment and thought. B. Lang, let's hear from you, and then over to Martin. But B. Lang, please.
Thank you, Bill. We have identified five high priority projects, and the reason why. The first one is on borrowing costs. IS-23 seems easiest to understand in the context of a standalone item of PPE, but I think it's more difficult to understand in its application when the borrowings are less specifically associated with a particular asset. And we think also that's why, even though IS-23 has been in operation for more than a decade after its last revision, still there were a number of IFRIC agenda decisions being issued on IS-23. Specifically, the definition of borrowing cost seems to be quite outdated and incomplete. The most new IFRS over the last decades have introduced new classes of finance charges, in particular IFRS 16 and IFRS 17, and it is not entirely clear how the borrowing cost definition relates to some of these finance charges. The other aspect is, for example, the definition of qualifying asset may be too restrictive. The feedback to the IFRIC tentative agenda decision on IS 23 back in, I think, November 2018, sought the matter to be referred to the board in view that certain wordings in IS 23 appears to have created some confusion, as some respondents appears to have different understanding of the standard. The next few items we have identified, first is on the cryptocurrencies and related transactions. We believe that the current standard may not appropriately address the special characteristic of the cryptocurrency, including the variability in value and the emerging use of cryptocurrencies as a medium of exchange. And then the topic on government grants and IS 38, intangible asset. We believe that the ISB should consider this as part of the project for it to be replaced with a modern standard reflecting current conditions. Last but not least is on the OCI. To have a better understanding of what OCI is all about and when recycling is appropriate. Given the use of OCI in current projects such as rate-regulated activities, so a better understanding of what OCI is all about is essential. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Bi-Ling. Martin.
Yeah, I'm not voting for a specific project or so, because I guess that should be done in a real outreach among the huge community of investors and so. But only to share some thoughts. I mean, for sure that the topic should be forward-looking, and if I consider cryptos and the overall timeline, if we are now speaking about a timeline of 5 years or so, for sure that could be a topic which would become relevant. And I mean, the interpretation committee had discussed the topic, and so far it is within IS 2 or 38, and this so far, I would agree, it does not really fit. On the other hand, I do not believe that a separate standard for that would be necessary. The question then is how to amend a current standard that cryptos could be included or so. Another idea is with regard to climate risk. There should be a careful consideration on topics like that, whether that should be done by the old board or by the new board or with the interface. So who should really deal with that topic? Last comment is a general remark. What is intended to be done with such a project? And probably it would make sense to have a split between projects which are more about disclosures or only about disclosures and projects which are also dealing with recognition and measurement, because that could make a severe difference. And I'm agree that with regard to intangibles, that's a very important topic, because 80% of all assets or even more are currently intangible assets, but I'm not sure whether anyone would like to see in a short time, the discussions about how to split IP also with regard to recognition and measurement, probably more about disclosures. So it should be quite clear what is expected here. Thanks.
Good. Thank you, Martin. Russell, please, and then we'll hear from Andrew. Russell.
Thanks, Bill. Just to say we agree with the previous members on cryptocurrencies probably needing to be high on the agenda. The other matter to bring to your attention is the IAASB just recently started a discussion of the comments that they received on a discussion paper around going concern, and quite a lot of respondents to that discussion paper indicated the need for enhancements for management requirements around going concern, which of course would more impact the accounting framework. So that might be something to consider going forward as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Russell. Andrew, please.
Sorry, I didn't unmute myself. I think there are two points I would like to just briefly touch upon. And they all relate really to the way assets or things that appear on the asset side of the balance sheet change over time. There's been a lot of talk in the last few minutes about cryptocurrencies. But if you go back into history, certainly in most of Europe, currency was effectively gold or silver. And bits of paper sort of came along, starting, I think, in the 16 or 1700s. And then we end up with digitized currency because most of the dollars, pounds, euros, or whatever actually don't exist. They're only electronic things now. And I think cryptocurrencies, again, is another development in that. And I think the board is going to have to go back to first principles and think about what these things are and how they should deal with them. And the same thing, I think, is true in what I think is becoming an unavoidable change that needs to be reviewed, and that's the whole world of discount rates. As an actuary, I'm obviously very, very interested in discount rates, and they're something that's very fundamental to us. But there is a great diversity of discount rates within the accounting standards, and the justifications for why they're there were probably very good at the time. But the world changes. It's not so very many years ago that the idea of a negative interest rate was regarded as totally ridiculous. In the United Kingdom, in England, we can show that interest rates never fell below 3% from the 1200s onwards. Even the very low interest rates are clearly something that is a very, very recent phenomenon in any sensible terms. The concept of risk-free interest rates is another one that has been viciously distorted by quantitative easing and other interventions in the market, which have had the effect of eliminating deep and liquid markets by the intervention of central banks. So I think in both those areas, the IASB has got, whether it likes it or not, a fairly probably large project in each area to go back to some quite fundamental issues on which there will be no doubt very intensive debate and a lot of controversy.
Good. Thank you very much. Giuseppe, I'll give you the floor if you'd like it, but from what I can tell, you support previous comments on crypto.
No need for me.
Okay, thank you. Then let us hear from Saskia, and after Saskia, I will ask Udi for his intervention. Saskia?
Okay, thank you, Bill. To say that we are about to publish our draft comment letter, and we refute the projects in various working groups we have, and of course in our tech and in the board, and we identified six projects, and you will not be surprised that three of them come from our current research work, which Europe identified in 2018 as being very important. Well, we heard many of you saying crypto. Currencies, you say, we refocus on crypto assets and liabilities. So a bit wider scope, we had the discussion paper published. So that is indeed high on our list. Intangibles is on the list of the ISB. We have our research project. So it's an area, like many others mentioned, that is really, really important. Also with the linkage between financial and sustainability reporting. The other research project we have is on variable and contingent consideration. Then the other three projects that we identified, and one is mentioned as well as climate-related information, but we want to go further. We want to start with connecting the financial and the corporate sustainability reporting, and then use a starting point, climate-related financial implications, and not only, so not limited to that. So that is one that is high on our agenda, and I guess if it's not given sufficient priority by the ISB, we also suggest that for our own research agenda. The other two projects that we have included in our top six are the discontinued operations and disposal groups. So post-implementation review of IFRS 5 follow-up and the statement of cash flows and related matters. EFRAG is actually combining the ISB agenda consultation with our own research agenda consultation. So some of the topics, which, and we appreciate that the ISB has limited capacity and cannot do everything, they may then end up on our European agenda, provided that our stakeholders support. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Saskia. Udi, over to you, please, and then Isabel. Udi?
Yeah, sorry. Thank you, Bill. I think someone mentioned it earlier, and I related that it's the question of how to deal with assets. It's not just a specific. I commented earlier on the intangibles, but think about it. Gold, a company that invests in gold, which standard deals with that if it's not a trader, but holds it as some kind of an investment property? So even these kind of tangible assets are not always being dealt with in the accounting standards. So when I look at these described projects, and I'm trying to see the connections between them, and I'm guessing that if you look at either the crypto, the intangibles, the platinum pricing mechanism, and commodity transaction, all of these projects are the ones that are saying, okay, there is valuation for entities, but it's not on the financial statements. And I would bring that is the valuation of those entities into the balance sheet. And I think that all of these standards connect to each other. This also brings us to all of our previous discussions about ESG and what is the value of an entity that relates to that. So I do think that maybe some of these projects need to come together, and you need to look at them as one on, okay, what gives valuation and what takes away valuation from an entity. Even something like variable and contingent consideration, where the interpretation committee decided not to deal with. This is something that you're okay. On one side, we have the asset. On the other side, we have the liability. And then do they change? Do they need to be measured, both of them at fair value or not? I think that this is maybe what the board need to look at and see how they all connect to one, maybe one question of scope of how you deal with assets and how you deal with the liabilities. Thanks.
Thank you, Udi. Isabel, and then Marie.
Isabel, thank you, please. Maybe I'll start with saying that we're still in the beginning of our discussions, but maybe to give you a flavour of like the three topics that for the moment the discussions have been focusing on. The first one is actually intangible assets and more sort of in like a full review of IAS 38, is it fit for purpose? And that, I mean, we do reckon it can be quite a large project because it could be looking into whether it should be capturing some pollutant pricing mechanisms, some obviously cryptocurrencies or crypto assets that we've heard about, but also, you know, disclosures on intangibles that are non-assets. So that's quite a large project that, you know, that could result from this. The second one is discontinued operations and disposal groups. I mean, that's something, at least in the past agenda consultations, we've been asking for, and I think it's still quite important because it's obviously, you know, classification and measurement, but also comparability and to a certain extent also maybe linked to management performance measures that are produced by companies. And so in the past, we used to refer to post-implementation review of IFRS 5. I think there's been sufficient questions raised on the standard, I think, to warrant a review of it. And the last one is maybe IAS 7 and a targeted review, because there's not a lot of disclosures in IAS 7. Also, we're thinking about issues around supply chain financing and how they then the classification. And also from and because there's not a lot of disclosures, the notion of data points in terms of taxonomy and improving that. And I'll stop here for the moment. But again, our discussions are not finished. So this is just the first flavor. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. Please, let's hear from Marie, and then I'll turn to Trevor. But first, Marie.
Yeah, thanks. First, at IOSCO, we're only starting our discussion, so it's more sort of personal comments. I think crypto is something we're focusing on, and IOSCO is definitely interested in. So I think it's one that might pop in. One comment I have is regarding ESG and the sort of question on environment, project into environment, because I think it might raise some confusion because people will say, okay, environment is sort of very important, so let's have a specific project. But as it was mentioned in the education statement from the ISB, we already have a lot of things in these standards that can address some of the issue. So for me, it's important just to make sure if something is done, it's something that is really required and not something that can be addressed with the existing standards. And I think regarding intangible, we do have all this question of crypto, but there are also some questions around the CO2 emission quota on the energy saving certificate. So all this sort of stuff, which for the moment are under, I think, research at the ISB for quite a while, but nothing has been done. Thanks.
Thank you. Trevor, please. And after Trevor, Aiko. But Trevor first.
Thanks, Bill. And I'm not entirely sure whether this is a comment on this section or maybe the previous section, but I think as a strategic advice body to the ISB and the trustees, I think maybe we should also be giving a warning that they've got to be careful around the amount of work that the board's going to do. We want high quality standards, and that means that there needs to be time devoted to each of the projects so it is done properly. The board members and the staff need time to think, to contemplate on where the approaches are. So I think, you know, a warning not to take on too much. There's a list of projects as long as your arm, and there's going to be huge competing priorities from everyone. So maybe just from us, just to say, you know, be careful about taking on too much. Don't try and kill yourselves to get things out, but concentrate on the quality.
Excellent point. Thanks for that, Trevor. Really good point. Aiko, please, and then Feng.
Yeah, thank you very much. Before talking about my points, that I agree with that his opinion regarding to that the too much is too is not so good for that good standards. And I have 3 points about the climate-related risks. I think that it is important issue, but should be dealt with new SSB. When we consider the future impairment or reserve, we could use the current standard to a certain extent. About the disclosure, we could use the current standard to the certain certain criteria. And so when the current board start in advance the project of climate-related risk, it is a bit difficult to distinguish the role between the board and SSB. Also, as indicated in the third agenda consultation, the IFRS Foundation published educational material on the effect of the climate-related matter on the financial statements. I think that is enough to explain stakeholders to publish such substantial educational materials. This is my first point. And about the intangible assets, there are lots of the discussion about the intangible asset, and there are a lot of the recognized intangible asset. But I think that considering the disclosure might be necessary in first. And my third point is about the other comprehensive income recycling. I think that we should consider as a comprehensive income as indicated in the agenda consultation and as indicated by others, the constitutional framework set out the principle of classification from other comprehensive income to the statement of profit and loss, recycling, I mean, and income expense and expenses are classified outside the statement of profit or loss in the other comprehensive income. When doing so, we should result in the statement of profit or loss, providing more relevant information or providing a more faithful representation of the company's financial statement for the period. So we should consider about that at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Aiko. Let's hear from Ms. Feng and then Torsten.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Just quick comments. Since some members have mentioned, we also would give high to intangible assets and the OCIs. As for the OCI, we think it's a very important item on financial statements. And it exists in several other standards, but so far there was no sound theory for OCI or general principle to guide whether or when the gain or loss recognized in OCI could be recycled in P&L. So we think further research work are needed to address this issue and enhance consistency between IFRS standards. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Torsten, over to you, and then we'll hear from Leslie. Torsten, please.
Yes, thank you, Bill. Just want to support those two points that were made earlier, you know, taking a step back, adopting a more principled approach and thinking about assets and their nature. That probably also applies to other areas that are listed on the list of possible priorities. So mineral resources, pollutant pricing mechanisms. And the other issue was don't overstretch. I also, of course, second that. Then I have three more remarks that might actually get us into that direction of being principles-based, but also not overstretching ourselves. So the first one is trying to seek synergies by focusing on cross-cutting issues, for example, like IFRS 13 has come about, addressing an aspect that cross-cuts across several standards. Interest rates would be another example, OCI, but also variable consideration. Those make intuitive sense to me because they are important and they also provide synergies. Then secondly, something that's come up before, Rachel also mentioned it, defining project scope. So is this about this additional disclosures or is it about a complete revamping of recognition and measurement? And I think what would be useful again here is to consider the role of disclosure again a bit more in a bit more principled way. For example, what are our assumptions about how disclosures are used by users? And that goes to the area of digital reporting as well. So do we still believe that disclosures can become overwhelming, that there can be overload? Or do we trust in the market as a whole and in information intermediaries to make sense and make use of these disclosures, even if individuals might be overwhelmed? And then finally, I think the ISP should keep in mind that it's going to be working side by side with a new board and will be working on issues that are common to both itself and the Sustainability Reporting Standards Board. And that will also probably need to be reflected in the current work plan and the future work plan. Thanks.
Thank you, Torsten. All right, we still have we have four more speakers. The last of whom five more. The last of whom is Nigel. Let's turn to Leslie, and then Ellen. Hi, Leslie.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. I don't have that much to add beyond Torsten. It seems that Udi and Andrew and others are saying that getting back to principles really means turning back to the conceptual framework and to the cross-cutting issues. Many of them are conceptual. When we think about discount rates or negative interest rates or variable consideration, accounting for uncertainty, they come down to measurement issues. Some would argue that measurement is one of the more poorly defined areas of the conceptual framework. But that's what they have in common. So it does make me wonder whether they should be addressed at the standards level rather than considering what's the objective, for example, of using present value measurements, and the discount rate follows from that conceptual objective of using that as a measurement basis. So it's not so much choosing the correct interest rate, and is it a risk-adjusted interest rate, and where do you want the manifestation of risk to show up? Cross cuts all the way to ECL, for example, right? Because the interest rate oftentimes is accounting for that uncertainty, probability-weighted, you know, expected value uncertainty, as well as just the time value of money. So going back to the basics of the conceptual framework would be more efficient, but it would also lead to a more rational set of standards, I think. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Ellen, over to you, please.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bill. I'm going to be really quick. The first point is that if there's room for additional projects, and that is a if, and I am against overloading. So if there is room, I see two being considered. One is the crypto, and the other is the going concern. The first one reflects the current trend, and the second one may have been exposed to be deficient by the ongoing pandemic. So the second point is, of the 22 projects listed, three of them, namely the climate risk, pollutant pricing, and the commodity, they should be looked at under the sustainability reporting framework, or at least in conjunction with the ISSB. In other words, they should not be ISB projects only. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Now we hear from Ken, who once again wins our stamina and endurance prize. Hi, Ken.
Thank you, Bill. I guess some reinforcing comments. I would share the view that we mustn't overload ourselves, and we should be. Keep very careful about taking on new projects, particularly as the stakeholder community is still struggling with leases, as will have a big implementation change to make with presentation, and that's really going to affect the investor community so significantly. So over the next 5 years, there's already a lot going on. When I look at these projects, there seems to me there's a fair number of them that are irritants that would pass a cost-benefit test because we might think it'd be low cost in removing the irritant, but I'd warn that the cost may actually be higher than we think. Then I think there's a few projects that are big, and I'm pretty much with Andrew Chamberlain with his views about that we may need to take a more fundamental look at things like the unit of account, the meaning of cash, the meaning of money, as that's changing. The how we think about a risk-free discount rate, given that interest rates are manipulated to maintain macro stability, and so it's. It's really challenging to me that the risk-free interest rate changes as much as it does. And then I think the third one is on intangibles, where we know that they're worth most of the value of the investments investors are making. They attract the investment because of the scalability of intangibles. They can be multiplied at a rate far more than tangible assets, and so investors are more willing to put money into them. And so, the cost information isn't at all relevant to those investors. What becomes actually relevant is the prospects of scalability, but that sort of takes us into thinking about intellectual property, how we could actually account for that a lot better. And I think that those three things, what's the unit of account, what's the future value of money, and what's the and how best to inform investors about intangibles. They're almost research projects in the next 5 years rather than standards in the next 5 years. I think we perhaps should think of them as that rather than as jumping into as a standards project. They're big issues. Thank you.
Good point, Ken. Thank you very much. Anna, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Bill. Although we do not have yet a formal position, I would like to comment on some projects. Most of them, they have been commented by other persons at the meeting, but I would like to highlight the importance of the discussion on other comprehensive income, including the recycling topic for insurers. And also on the intangible assets project, I would say that it's not only important to focus to have better information on intangibles, discussing on what type of information for those intangibles that are not being recognized in the balance sheets, whether they should be or only in the notes or this information, but also focusing on the measurement part, as we were discussing before and in some of the breakout sessions. Maybe we're currently facing some changes in the environment, some type of contracts or new transactions, and the current principles in IAS 38 do not provide enough answers to deal from an accounting perspective. And maybe on this measurement side, I see a connection with the variable and contingent payments project that it has been included in the agenda consultation, because sometimes recognizing an intangible asset, you have to deal with this area, and it's important to have clarification. And also working on this maybe together can provide answers to other transactions that are in the scope of other projects or other standards. And or maybe, like some of you were suggesting, it should be within the context of reviewing the conceptual framework, because it's a cross-cutting issue on several standards. And just a quick mention that maybe there are other projects that they have not been included in the agenda consultation, but they arise because some type of companies or industries are implementing new standards. I would like to highlight, for example, the importance of hedge accounting for insurers, which it has not been very detailed or developed in the current standards, and maybe companies that are trying to implement IFRS 9 or other standards, they are dealing with difficulties because there is not enough education material, or there are a lot of uncertainties on how to apply the principles that work well for banks and other industries to other. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Anna. Nigel, you've got the last word. Well, actually, I do, but...
Thanks, Bill. that's a lot of pressure.
Nigel, I'll summarize, and I'll also ask Rachel for any observations. But Nigel, over to you, please.
Awesome. Thank you for relieving the pressure, because that was a lot of pressure. So a few comments from us. Projects that we think should be prioritized. One, operating segments. I think we think that should be a priority, a project on operating segments, particularly developing more guidance regarding disaggregated disclosures of income and expense, which we think would provide users with much more decision useful information, especially in light of the board's proposal on performance reporting. Of note, the FASB, so the U.S. Standard Setter, has undertaken a project in this area as well, which we think could inform the board's work. So that's the first one. The second is discontinued operations. I think someone mentioned earlier, I think Marie mentioned earlier, that in 2015, the board mentioned there that there were a number of unresolved issues relating to the application of IFRS 5. And, you know, we observed that the PRI still has not yet started. And we believe that PRI should be undertaken so that the board could better understand whether revisions to IFRS 5 are needed to fully achieve the board's objectives. The next item is government grants. Obviously, within the last year, because of stimulus payments and other forms of government support, this IES 20 had a significant sort of exposure or prominence. But I think in that, we observed that there were various policy choices, both for grants related to assets and grants related to income, and that reduced comparability between entities applying the standard. So we believe the board should reconsider the accounting for government grants to ensure consistency in IES 20. The final one is inventory and cost of sales. We noted the issuance of IFRS 15 provided specific guidance regarding the recognition and measurement of revenue by a vendor for many areas where guidance did not previously exist. However, it's still lacking guidance with respect to the customer's accounting in those areas. But one final thing I just wanted to note, and it's a few points here, but with respect to cryptocurrencies, because I think a lot of members are mentioning cryptocurrencies for various reasons. But I think some of our thoughts around that is, you know, unless the board were to elect an option of only adding a disclosure requirement, we think that any project that would aim to develop recognition and measurement guidance would be a significant undertaking given the variety of cryptocurrencies and digital assets that exist today and may even exist in the future. And because it's such a significant undertaking, it can divert resources from some very important projects like post-implementation of IFRS 9, 15, 16. Also, we think a lot of preparers have strong views that measuring, with respect to measuring cryptocurrencies at fair value, where they think that's most appropriate. However, we note that based on trade and volume, observable prices of these types of assets, the ability to measure at fair value in accordance with IFRS 13 may be much more challenging and costly than preparers realize. And then two more points I'll mention in this area is, again, with respect to fair value, if that were to be pursued, there would be the further debate as far as whether changes in fair value should be recognized in profit or loss or in OCI, which would then prompt further debate about whether gains or losses initially recognized in OCI should be recycled out of OCI into profit and loss once it's recognized. And again, these are things that the board has struggled with in other areas, so similar thing here. And then the final thing is, because cryptocurrencies and digital asset technologies are just advancing rapidly, if the board were to undertake a project in this, by the time it's finished, it probably would be obsolete or out of date because of the advancement in technology. So all of those, I think, are considerations when you're thinking of some sort of project with respect to cryptocurrency. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. Well said. Daniel, I see your Daniel had an intervention, but his microphone's not working. I will take note of that, Daniel.